This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to another hour of What's On Your Mind, brought to you this hour by our friends at the University of Mary. If you're looking for a fresh start this spring, enroll in an undergraduate, graduate, or certificate program at the University of Mary. Just take those first steps. I did this and was fascinated by what kind of credits I had for things I'd done in business. And then they go back and say, okay, what, you know, let's look at your education to that point. You got that. And all of a sudden, you're on a pretty good path to find yourself something perfect. Certificate. It might help. There's, all kinds of graduate, undergraduate, all kinds of angles you can go. And it's an affordable choice. Classes available online in the evenings. You choose the best way you learn. And while you're still working and fulfilling your other responsibilities, classes start May 4th. If you tell them you heard about it and what's on your mind, your fee will be waived. Online.umary.edu. Discover more. 701-355-8030, 701-855-8030, or online. It's another hour of What's On Your Mind. I'm Scott Hannon. We're going to talk with Dan Kattermas from True North Steel this hour. We're going to talk to Ron Ness from the North Dakota Petroleum Council this hour as well about the issue of the land board. And I hope to get into just the bigger issue a little bit here of when we begin to take an industry for granted and, wonder if at what point, you just... It's too much, you know. Kill the golden goose is one way that's been talked about, and some issues are happening that we need to pay close attention to, so we'll tackle that. We're going to talk to Dan a little bit about a need for welders and the state of our economy, and also a little bit about China and the trade deals and what's happening there. I want to get Robert and Mandy in here first, who's been waiting a while to chat with us. Thanks for waiting, Robert. What is on your mind?
Howdy there. I moved here from Detroit when I was 25, and one of the main reasons was because of the crash of the automotive industry. And it mainly happened, I think, as a result of the unions pushing and the state and local and federal government putting too many regulations on these giant companies that, you know, were at one time thought to be bulletproof or unthinkable. But, as I was growing up, it started to have a major impact. I lived right next to a Pontiac plant and then later a Lincoln Town Car plant, and they both closed, which caused me, even as a cook, I was working at just diners at the time when I was 18, 17, and I lost my job because the auto workers that worked at those plants were no longer frequenting them. And what you're saying about the oil companies, I think, has a lot of relevance, that they can be regulated out of business or regulated out of the state. And they are basically the building block or one of them in the state of the economy overall.
I think you make a very good point. Robert, and what you're describing has happened. It happened in North Dakota. If you go back and look at Kent Conrad, then a state tax commissioner, and there was lawsuits over this and Supreme Court decisions over this. But the first Kent Conrad and then Heidi Heitkamp in the 80s, they went out there and said, we want to get increased gross production taxes on natural gas from half. So they did the same thing. And there became a very unmistakable signal from the state's leaders at that time that the oil and gas industry was not welcome in North Dakota. And guess what they did? They left. They went and found a better economic environment. That's called the free enterprise system. It's exactly what happened in Michigan, and you're right, I believe, too, that was unions and health care costs, ultimately, and a lot of regulations, and the same thing here. And that's my point. We're getting to a point where we want more and more and more. We want to keep taking, and you've already got an industry paying over half the taxes paid in the state. And so you start pushing like they're pushing now and going more and more that way, you will have less production, therefore less revenue for royalty owners and also less for roads and bridges and water projects and everything else. So you're exactly right, Robert, which is why I think anybody that's in the industry now should let their voice be heard like you have today. I appreciate it very much, though. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Call again, 800-228-0550. Dan Kadamer is here. Dan is the president of True North Steel. Been a guest of ours previously on the program talking about steel. I saw an article the other day about welders and the dollars it takes to attract them in this economy, how much demand they are in for and how many more we need. And I thought this is a good time to catch up with Dan and the crew at True North Steel. Dan, thanks for being here. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Scott.
So on the welder front, as you look out 10 years just for your company, what are your needs versus what are in the pipeline, basically?
You know, our needs have been constant right now, just open positions. I know we probably have about 25 open positions today throughout our company, and it is a constant need. Not only is it just finding people for growth, but also replacement. There's a number of people that are reaching that retirement age, and this is a trade that was fairly common. We used to get a lot of workers from the farm, and today we're seeing less and less of that, plus just from high school students not being promoted to go into this industry. Since 2008, when we had the recession, a number of tradesmen left the skilled craft industry, and we've lost some of those forever. So we're really looking to get some back, and there's some good programs that are going on right now to help reeducate. This is a good alternative for a number of young people.
But the 25 openings you have now, roughly for welders, that's actual revenue.
That's
in other words, if you had those 25 positions filled, you've got you know
you
can take more projects, you can do more.
We can do more with those open positions. Definitely, yeah. That's looking at how much work we can take on right now. And making decisions on just what our capacity is.
The number I saw was 375,000 welders by 2023 is what the American Welding Society estimates the shortage to be.
Mm-hmm.
The shortage to be short. The demand, obviously, is growing for them, but the industry is not exactly in a stable position given some of the trade practices in other places right now, right? So this would, you know, it's a great job, clearly, and I would imagine that if you're a welder, you're going to have a job wherever you want to have a job for a very good rate of pay for a long time. But it's still not to the point where we can say you're out of the woods as an industry in the U.S. Am I right?
Correct. It's a fairly dynamic market. We were talking about just what's happening in the steel industry today, and we're seeing a trade case that's going on right now, and actually we'll be hearing within the next half an hour how the International Trade Commission will rule on a case that we presented about a year and a half ago on foreign fabricated steel. And today we're seeing a fair amount of foreign fabricated steel. And when they implemented some of the restrictions on raw steel just 2.5 years ago, it did not address fabricated steel. So what we did see in the industry is we saw steel from China primarily going into other countries, Mexico or Canada, and then getting fabricated and shipped into our country, put domestic fabricators at a tremendous disadvantage because they were getting subsidized steel, fabricating and shipping in to the U.S. against domestic fabricators that were paying a higher price for steel, and we're having a difficult time to compete.
And by the agreements they're part of, they're not supposed to be able to do that. They're supposed to only be able to bring in raw steel?
The restriction initially was just on raw steel, and we did try to get fabricated steel into the initial restriction. That did not happen.
But that's what's being decided today?
That's being decided today.
Got it. So, and the significance of that would be what?
It would restrict the amount of foreign fabricated steel that's subsidized, primarily from China. We've been working at the past 2 years on this case, and we've seen countervailing and anti-dumping duties of some parts of China that their margins have been in excess of 60 to over 100%, up to 150% less meaning they're selling their steel at a loss.
And that's what you're competing with.
That's what we're competing against.
And that's not really a free enterprise. I don't know what to call that, but it's got to be very challenging to sit there and say, okay, how do you compete against this? You want to compete level playing field? You don't have one.
It's difficult to compete against a country where their government controls their private industry and subsidize it. China today has 10 times the capacity of the U.S. Today, China has just over 51% of the world's steel production. The U.S. today is at 4.8%. I explained that to a number of people. They're often surprised.
Texter wants to know what the starting wage is.
So starting wages right now for welders now are at $18. So, and that's for a starting wage, and that it goes up from there. And these wages have been going up the last 2 years. One thing I've been amazed at, talking to Neil Kashkari.
Hold that thought. We'll come back and get the Federal Reserve Minneapolis Chair's take on all this with our guests. Don't go away.
Help preserve your wealth. Successful investing requires more than just selecting the right stocks or bonds. It also requires avoiding big mistakes that can harm your financial future. Call Collins and Kronk to get your free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Let the advisors at Collins and Kronk explain some common pitfalls investors make, and more importantly, how to avoid them. Steering clear of any of these key mistakes could greatly improve your ability to reach your investing goals. Given the current news and the uncertainty in the financial markets, you may wonder how you'll keep your own portfolio on track to help meet your financial goals. Get the free, no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Call the advisors at Collins & Kronk today and ask for the report. Collins & Kronk, 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., located 300 NP Avenue, Fargo, Suite 108.
Ethanol brings energy and agriculture together. We're chatting with Brian Markegaard today, process engineer for Dakota Spirit, part of the Midwest Ag Energy family, in Spiritwood. What if ethanol went away? What would that mean for corn farmers? What does that mean for North Dakota?
There's about 40 employees here at the plant, right around 40. So those jobs would be gone. They're very good paying jobs. So those positions would be gone from the community, which we saw with Cargill moving out, the number of jobs that left the community. And then just from the ability to process that corn right here makes a big impact, again, with the farm community, which in this part of the world supports the local community through buying equipment and all the other things that farmers are spending money on as well. And then the trickle effect of all that money in the community is huge.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
Across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
What's on your mind? Brought today in part by our friends at Oasis Petroleum. Be the buffalo. That's what they do. I mean, what they do is hydrocarbon exploration and hydraulic fracturing in the Williston Basin, and they do it well. In fact, they're one of the top producers in North Dakota. That's what they do, right? But what they really do doing that is they're the buffalo. Be the buffalo. Go into the buffalo. If you go to oasispetroleum.com, click on careers. And you have that Be the Buffalo spirit, you're going to be a perfect fit. They also sponsor our 24/7 Be the Buffalo hotline, 855-200-1776. Anybody you're seeing demonstrating that Be the Buffalo spirit, let us know so we can give them a shout-out. Okay? We'd love to do that. Before the break, we're chatting, by the way, with Dan Kadamas from True North Steel. Dan's also on the board of the American Institute of Steel Constructors. Is that right? Constructors?
American Institute of Steel Construction.
Construction. Got it. Okay. And that group has been lobbying for some time, the International Trade Commission and others, to say, look, we have an unfair environment here, which clearly you do.
Mm-hmm.
When right. China makes all the steel they do and then just dumps it because they're supported by their government. That's what you're competing against.
Correct.
And we got news in the break that the ruling did not go our way.
Correct. I just did receive a text saying that it was voted negative 3-2. And a big part of that is the amounts for Canada and Mexico were less, and China was pretty significant. I don't have all the details, but we're thinking that because it wasn't as significant because they didn't take into effect the subsidized steel that came in from China to those countries, the pricing was less of effect from those two countries. But I don't have the details.
Before the break, we were talking about the wages. Somebody called in and said, what are the wages? You explained that they start at 18 and go up from there. And you also wanted to make mention of something that Neil Kashkari, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, had to say related to wages.
Yeah, I've talked to Neil, and one of the comments I continue to hear every year for the last 3-4 years has been we've had no wage inflation. And I don't understand that because we've seen significant increases in wages, particularly with skilled workers in our shops over the last 3 to 5 years.
Let's see. Who's next? Scott in Fargo had a question for us on this topic. Go ahead, Scott. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
Well, I used to weld. I welded for over 20 years, but it's very dangerous and very hard on your health, and none of these factories in town are paying enough salary for us to risk our health. I know.
So what about the environment? Obviously, that's something that's highly regulated, and you can't just decide, here's how it's going to be. That's something the federal government, right, mandates and regulates on the environment, correct?
Yeah, there's a number of things, and actually, I mean, safety is a significant issue for us. We do a lot of work in the oil industry, and our safety incident rate, if it's not at a certain level, very low, we can't even do business with most of these companies.
So would you say when a welder goes to work, it's a safe environment?
I would say it is a safe environment, yes. It's something that everything has some risks, but still there's a lot of focus on safety today, more than it ever. We have people dedicated just to safety at each one of our sites.
Appreciate the call, though, and Scott, I hope you're well in your endeavors. A couple of things I want to ask you a little bit about. Is there any opportunity in this coronavirus thing right now? It's shut down steel plants. We talked to a guy the other day, has a steel container business, can't get the containers from China. They use them for shipping, I guess, and then sell them over here for, in his case, storage. Is there any opportunity in this?
We haven't seen, really, domestically, we haven't seen much of an impact. We've been able to control it in the United States, and fortunately, by far the majority of our steel is domestic steel that we use in our construction. So we haven't seen a big impact from material coming over from China. So it hasn't really impacted us. It could in the future. Domestically, we do import some steel, but the majority of it is domestic, and our domestic supply is good and well.
So there clearly was an effort by others to destroy the steel industry, no different than really, I guess, manufacturing being shipped off all over. The president, very early in his administration, said we're going to change that and made it a priority. Wilbur Ross, the Secretary of Commerce, was in your shop.
Yeah.
In West Fargo, they said this is going to be an important part of the trade deals. How are they doing?
No, they're doing great. I mean, it's the administration's been very supportive of our industry, understands the issues. I think it's a big part of why he has received support is because people, especially working class people, understand that these jobs are important. And these are good-paying jobs in the United States, and this industry is important. Steel is an industry that for people talk about national security. It is important, and the United States was the leader in the world in steel production. Today, we're not, but it's still a vital part of our industry.
What about the price of steel? I remember at the time the tariffs were added and the prices went up, and you had anticipated it and bought some significant amounts of steel, but is that stabilized?
Yeah, it did peak in 2018, and it's come down since then, and it's actually been fairly stable, I would say, over the last year. There's different types of steel. There's structural steel that goes into buildings, and then there's flat rolled or plate. And so there's different types of steel that operate a little bit differently, but overall it's been pretty stable here over the last year.
I mean, I look at China with over 50% of the market. And they're obviously subsidizing these companies, basically. So you're now competing with not with a factory in China. You're competing with the government of China.
Correct.
When you're in the U.S. So that's why they've got 50%. Can you change that? Can you grow steel production in the U.S. from 5 to 10% and take a little of that away, or are you just at where you're going to be?
It's very difficult. There's been some opportunity here with some of the restrictions in place. We've been able to grow a little bit over the past couple of years because of what the administration has done. But prior to that, we were continuing to decline. The problem is that China has continued to grow every year also. Put it in perspective, China makes almost 52% of the world's steel. The next closest country is Japan and India at 6%. So you can look at that gap and realize how much of a dominance they have, and they continue to grow. And it's government control.
Yeah, unbelievable. About a half a minute left. Anything you want to tell us about this or what you'd want folks to be conscious of?
I just want people to be aware of the trade industry. There's good opportunities out there for trades. Kids that are in high school need to look at that avenue. I know I'm on a board of a bank. I see a lot of student loan debt. And it's a great alternative. Kids can literally have support in their education and get their education within 2 years and be working and get support and be trained on the job and have a very good paying job in this industry. And I just want people to be aware of that.
Let's hope they are. I tell you, and of course, in the case of True North Steel, just a gold standard company here that takes very good care of their people. Folks that have worked there many, many, many years. So I agree, those would be a great.
And Scott, if I could, our 75th anniversary.
That's right, coming up in May, right?
Yeah.
75 years of True North Steel. So there you go, prime example. Mike in Fargo, we'll get you in here next. Dan Katermas from True North Steel, thank you. More after this, folks.
Our region has a deep tradition of supporting conservation, where we're taught to leave a place better off than we found it. We know that our land, our air, and our water are precious resources, which is why the coal industry has been nationally recognized for preserving, protecting, and enhancing our land by reclaiming more than 20,000 acres once mining is finished. That land is used to hunt, fish, and feed the world. That same resourcefulness that's used to reclaim land is now being put to use to capture non-toxic emissions, including carbon dioxide from power plants. Researchers at the University of North Dakota are working to explore geology to store the carbon dioxide safely deep underground, where it will stay permanently. This next-generation technology will not only enhance our nation-leading clean air standards, but protect 15,000 good-paying jobs by using homegrown energy resources. Learn more at www.secureenergyfuture.org/CCUS.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump's two-day whirlwind visit to India coming to a close. He holds a solo news conference where he discusses, among other things, a possible trade deal between the two nations. Although he says India is going to have to lift tariffs on some American goods before that deal can be done. The president also discussing the coronavirus and how it's affecting the United States.
Very well under control in our country. We Yeah, very few people with it.
There are at least 50 confirmed cases of the virus in the U.S. at last check. The South Carolina primaries on Saturday. Tonight, the Democratic presidential candidates will be on a debate stage in Charleston. Sponsored by CBS, it will air on that network starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Opera star Placido Domingo issuing an apology to women who have accused him of sexual misconduct. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation in world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC, paid for and responsible for the content of this message, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. rootwall.com.
Back on What's On Your Mind, we're in the summer mood, thanks to Kid Rock. All summer long! There you go, right now. I think that's a little bit of a stretch with...
I am so ready for summer.
...today's weather, but we've had a little hint of the warmer, yeah. Yeah. Is it 41? Did it hit 41 this week?
I think it, yeah, over the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, I was walking to the chiropractor yesterday, or the clinic, Dr. Chad. He's fixed up my neck, so I'm good. And the lady coming out of there, she was just beaming, probably in her 60s, 70s, smiling from ear to ear. And I said, boy, you look like you're in a good mood. She said, how can you not be with this weather?
There you go. You bet.
She was loving it. I know it. All right, Mike in Fargo, I promised I'd get you in here quick after our chat with Dan Katerbus and Ron Ness on deck. What's on your mind, Mike?
Hey, I just wanted to make your audience aware, Scott, of a great movie that is playing in the Westacre Cinema, and it's called The Free Burma Rangers. You don't go to a movie very often anymore that is uplifting, and this movie is a documentary. It is about a former Army Ranger who becomes a missionary humanitarian aid worker in Burma, then Iraq, and the family is actually now in Syria. And at the end of this movie, last night when I went to it, when the lights came up, the credits were rolled, you just sat there. Everybody stayed in their seats and didn't talk. It is the most dynamic, humanitarian, feel-good thing that you can imagine. And it makes you proud to be an American. It makes you proud to be a Christian to what they're doing, helping other people around the world. I mean, it is marvelous, and tonight is the last night.
Well, now there's zero chance I'm not going to see it because of that recommendation. So we're on it, Mike. Appreciate the call. Free Burma Rangers, and these documentaries are really good. I saw my wife and I thought for sure she was going to say no, but she said, yeah, let's go. It was the Clarence Thomas story. Same thing, documentary. And, I mean, there's no movie stars. It's Clarence Thomas and his wife and, you know, a few other people that know him, and telling his story from, you know, child on up, and it was unbelievable. It was a great story. I like the documentaries. I'll take the truth over the Hollywood BS, but I hope folks see it wherever it's at. Mike, thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Thanks. And I got to tell you, there's a scene in there where the Iraqi general that frees Mosul, Iraq, just, you know, a year ago, he says, I prayed to God that someone would help our people. I never expected it to be a Christian from the United States and a former Army Ranger that would come and do it.
Wow.
That's great.
That is great. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it very much.
Okay.
last night, tonight, at least it sounds like in Fargo, because Mike's from Fargo, but you can check and see if it's still playing at other theaters. Free Burma Rangers. There have been more of those, though, at the theaters, more documentaries. I like it a lot. Ron Ness is the president of North Dakota Petroleum Council. Ron joining us today to talk a little bit about a land board meeting coming up on Thursday, which is actually a meeting at the request of Governor Doug Burgum, which will revisit an issue that had come up previously in the last land board meeting related to the amount of deductions that are permitted for oil and gas companies. And despite the fact that the land board themselves have for some time guided companies to deduct in the exact fashion they were, a Supreme Court decision that is still not 100% final but is out there has suggested another thing, and the land board, in my mind, overreached a little bit in going back to the beginning of time to extract dollars from the oil and gas companies. So we're going to sort all that out today best we can on the program ahead of Thursday's meeting. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Scott, thanks for having me on today, and I think I want to correct one thing. You're not just taking dollars from oil companies. Everybody that participates in an oil well going back potentially 40 years, which is thousands of North Dakotans, is potentially going to get an invoice for, you know, something that, as you said, what we've discovered, and one of the benefits of this is we've been working hard on this for the last 10 days, and we find more information every day. And yesterday, one of our members used an internet tool called the Wayback Machine, and were able to find the information that was posted on the land board website, dating back to actually 2018 before it was taken off. And it directed companies: this is how you deduct and how you pay royalties on oil and on gas. And of course, a state lease is vastly different than that of a private lease. About other private leases across North Dakota, but the issue here really is to step back. Let's get this right. There are still two court cases pending. This issue is long from decided. This is, in my opinion, a rush to judgment and something to try and put this behind us. There's so much more information out there, Scott, and people, you know, have to grasp that the gas is not what drives investment in North Dakota's oil and gas industry. It's the oil. Gas has become a cost center. And one of your previous callers talked about increasing costs of that he's seen. And I, you know, each private lease is different from a state lease, but I'm here to tell you that $18 to $25 billion that's been invested in natural gas is essentially just move the gas. It's a small, tiny percentage of what the economics surrounding oil are. So we have to be extremely careful to continue to disincentivize the investment and the gas side of the business. You don't make the oil economics work either. And we're in a very tenuous situation right now with, obviously, you've heard the Democrat presidential candidates. You see the markets, all of those things. And the Bakken is great. But, you know, Alaska was great a long time ago, too. So this is just about stepping back. Get this right. Let's take our time. Let's do it right. And, you know, going back 40 years, you know, the IRS doesn't even contemplate going back 40 years. So especially when we have evidence now that the agency was saying, this is the way to do this. Let's go back. If there's a court case deciding it, let's go back and be prudent and reasonable and say, okay, this is the point in which you all were notified. That was April 5th, 2017. May 1 is when they were told this is a new way to calculate it. I think that would be reasonable. And I think most people would say that would be a reasonable step, not punitive, not greedy, just a reasonable step that us and our customers, who, by the way, have grown a common schools trust fund that contributes $367 million to K-12 education in this current biennium, which is about 10% of every student's education, which we all don't have to pay in property tax. Very important partnership for all of us to continue this going forward.
The it seems to me the nemesis here is gas, and mainly because I called it worthless earlier, and somebody said the gas isn't worthless on my utility bill, so maybe worthless is a little too strong, but it's certainly historically cheap. I mean, if you look at gas on the commodity pricing index historically, it was at 8, right, and it's been $2 forever now. So that's you know, it's not worthless, but it's down there. I mean, look at Dakota gasification. You know, and how that's working for them, manufacturing synthetic gas. They're losing a tremendous amount of money as a result of that. And then we're talking about what it's worth at the well site, right? Because, you know, if you talk about what it's worth at the well site compared to get it in a pipe, get it to a processing facility, those are two different things. Explain that for folks, because that's really the crux of this, is the fact that we've got a challenge with this gas not being worth much, right?
Well, you're exactly right. In gas in North Dakota, in the Bakken, is a percentage of the product that comes up. And to a producer or to a royalty owner right now, it essentially is worthless because of the cost of the infrastructure and you know, the pressure in order to capture gas and reduce flaring. It can become a cost center for a producer and a royalty owner. And I think in many instances today, you're having to pay to move that gas, just like you would pay to remove salt water. Certain times you're having to pay to remove the gas in order to produce the oil. And certainly all of the infrastructure, we do not want to disincentivize the continued expansion of the gas infrastructure because it's not a great economic return. The money's in the oil. The economics are in the oil. The tax benefits are in the oil. The jobs are in the oil. Gas today is a surplus commodity across North America, still in high demand. If we can figure out how to add more value to it in North Dakota or on our coast and get it over to Asia, there's value to it. But today, at the wellhead or at the tailpipe of the gas plant, it's virtually not much value there. But we're having these big fights over natural gas, and this is about, you know, the costs associated with that gas, and we all know they've been going up because you got to build all this infrastructure. But I think the issue here more is court cases. What's the right look back if the courts decide that the Newfield versus the state of North Dakota is the way forward? Then we should go back a reasonable period of time. The IRS typically will go back 6 years. The state requires you to keep production records 6 years. There's a lot of things. None of them talk about 40 years. 40 years. And this isn't just Bakken. We all think Bakken. There are oil and gas operations that have been going on in North Dakota for decades and decades, small operators who don't have access to these records. They don't have in-house lawyers. They're going to have mineral owners that are partners. They're going to have working interest owners that are partners. And essentially what we're saying here is that everybody's got to pony up. And, oh, by the way, get us just the 90 days or we're going to put excessive punitive penalties and interest of up to 18% and 12% penalty on top of that. That's not the North Dakota way. There's a better way to do this. And we hope the land board just steps back and says, let's sort this out and get it right. It doesn't have to be decided today.
Would there be a common schools trust fund without oil production?
Well, you'd have some funds in there, certainly from agricultural rentals and properties. But if you look at what's happened to the common schools trust fund over the past decade, we just did the calculation here. It's a little hard to find, but it's grown by about $3 billion in the last decade. And it's somewhere around $5 billion today. It's somewhat on par with the legacy fund, actually, but it funds education.
I'm Kirsten Baszler, who's superintendent of public instruction. She's on the land board because obviously schools are impacted by that fund. And she sees a fiduciary responsibility to those kids. And, you know, but there's also, when you look at, okay, $3 billion in the last decade, where is that coming from? There's the fiduciary responsibility to make sure it keeps coming into the fund. I mean, is there a mechanism to ensure that happens? That basically you're not only looking at the one fund, you're looking at, hey, this industry is the payer, and if they go away, we have nothing over here. You know, I mean, can I think that way?
I think a couple things there, Scott. Everybody should look at the long view of all of this stuff. And like we look at the long view of the legacy fund, but, you know, don't be, you know, penny wise and pound foolish. And the amount of money in that common schools trust fund and gas is minuscule. You know, don't screw up the oil revenues. That's what pays 50% of the taxes in North Dakota. That's what's driving sales tax growth. That's what's driving jobs.
Right. And hold that thought if you want, Ron.
We'll fight over a small topic.
More coming up.
Did you procrastinate all year about that foundation repair project and now you think it's too late? Hey, Lacey here with Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. No need to worry, we've got you covered. Whether you need waterproofing, drain tile, a crack repaired, or help stabilizing that settling foundation, don't wait.
Call 701 701- 480-7038 and ask us about our winter discount, or go to pccnd.com. That's pccnd.com.
I have neck problems. And my friend Vince Webker from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2 said, Scott, you have a hot tub. You bought it from us. Neck problems, back problems, you can help, right?
Definitely, you need to get in that. It's going to help loosen up the muscles. The blood's going to flow a little bit better. Everything good is going to happen from sitting in the hot tub. That's why you have it for days like when you have pain, when you don't sleep, when you can't walk. Sit in your hot tub. It'll do miracles.
Come see them at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2, Fargo, Bismarck, Grand Forks, and Minot.
Hi, I'm Elise Pucklich of Pucklich Chevrolet in Bismarck. And when we say you drive, we'll ride with you, we mean we'll be with you every step of the way. For over 34 years, we've known the sale of a vehicle is the first step in making you a customer for life. We're family-owned and operated, and we care about our community and the people who live here. So experience the difference a car dealer can make at Pucklich Chevrolet in Bismarck, where customer satisfaction is our number one priority.
Want to make quality silage bales on a budget? Your local Northern Region New Holland dealer has what you need. The new RF450 Super Feed Round Baler from New Holland. It produces dense, heavy 4x5 bales, including silage bales with up to 80% moisture. It tackles large swaths at high speed, forms heavy bales with 7 floor rolls and a chain and slat system inside the rugged bale chamber. Visit your local Northern Region New Holland dealer today to learn more about the RF450 Super Feed Round Baler.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Before the top of the hour on What's On Your Mind, reminder, tomorrow I will not be here in the chair. Sedation dentistry, those two words, that'll be if I was here, I would not be making a lot of sense. So anyway, doing that tomorrow, and back on Thursday, of course, and Friday as well. Friday live from the Energy and Environmental Research Center at the University of North Dakota. Big weekend happening up there, so I'll tell you more about that as we go. Well, actually, you can tell me more about that, Ronnie. You got a big weekend up at the University of North Dakota, and gathering folks as you do to look at the future and look where things are going. So exciting times, right?
We're going to have an incredible couple days up at the University of North Dakota at CERC, and with the new president of UND and the of course the petroleum engineer. We're going to get an unbelievable tour from Tom Sawyer and the the drone folks up there in terms of what they're doing in oil and gas, and I think that's one of the big opportunities coming forward. So really looking forward to that. And, of course, there's some hockey that we're going to attend, so it's going to be great.
Big and, job. Of course, one of the pioneers of this industry in the North Dakota, Harold Hamm, it will be an honorary letter, or I guess a hold a doctorate, being an honorary doctorate to, on bestowed on him, and a lunch that will be happening on Friday. So that's a neat deal as well for Harold. I remember one time I walked into the core sample lab with him, and it was like he was walking into Indiana Jones's Holy Grail there, you know. I mean, it just is, that's a pretty special place for a lot of folks, that especially geologists that know the Bakken well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a well, little-known secret in North Dakota that across the world of geologists across the country, they know that we've got the best core library anywhere and probably in the world, and it's very well organized. And if you take Harold in there, you just see his eyes light up when he starts looking at that Bakken and Three Forks and Red River core and all of those cores, and they put that under that that microscopic light, and they can see the oil in that rock and look at all the trends from all the wells drilled in the state. That's really a something that was great vision by the, you know, the former state geologist and the legislature to keep that and now continue to add to it, enhance it. So it's a, and of course, how awesome for all those geology petroleum engineering students at the University of North Dakota to have that resource there.
Thursday, the land board will decide the fate of how to react to a Supreme Court decision that's not yet even final, but has been acted on by the land board to the point of wanting to go back to the beginning to change how these companies deduct these expenses for natural gas and for flaring. The people on this are Governor Doug Burgum and Attorney General Wayne Stengem, Superintendent of Public Instruction Kirsten Baisler, Al Jaeger, the Attorney General, along with Kelly Schmidt, the State Treasurer. You know, what do you hope they consider most on Thursday, Ron?
Well, Scott, as you know, most of those type of meetings, there's not really public input. So I guess if I had a question or two that would be asked, would be, you know, looking at this new information that we've got just last night in terms of, this is what your compliance revenue division said. This is a example of how to do a paycheck. This is an example of how to do deductions on your workbook, you know, on your website, instructing operators to do this. How do you say we should go back past the May 1, 2017 date, when that was clearly still the instructions by your own agency to do this? And then how do you go back to the first production of any well? That's mind-boggling, and I think that's what's got people that certainly our membership and our producers who produce 98% of North Dakota's oil and natural gas extremely fired up about this, is that, you know, and you've got an existing lawsuit out there. This issue is by no means resolved. And let's just step back, find a reasonable solution. If you want to make settlements and the money goes into escrow on a reasonable time frame, I think people would do that as long as that money comes back to them. But if you pay it to the state of North Dakota and you lose and the state loses, then that money hasn't always been refunded. And the letter that producers got doesn't say anything about that. And, of course, we saw that on the Lakebed Minerals case now, that there's a whole bunch of money there that the – you know, the land board is not refunded because of challenges with state, legal challenges with the state reimbursing money and things like that. So there's a lot of issues to discuss here. It's a complex topic, I will tell you that. And I appreciate the challenge that the land board members who aren't in this business every day have before them, but one that a step that I think is prudent to step back and get it right. And, you know, we're talking a trust fund that's got $5 billion in it. I think they can afford to get themselves some expert outside advice, some review, whatever it takes. Let's just get it right. It's really important going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the main thing here, right? I mean, this Supreme Court decision is not even final yet, and some flaws have been, you know, uncovered in that, and there will be obviously reviewed, but that's not final, correct?
Well, that's right, and the district court ruled in favor of Newfield. The Supreme Court remanded it back, they flipped it and remanded it back to the district court. So in addition, there's another lawsuit on this very same topic still pending. So we haven't moved on Lakebed Minerals in how many years in terms of who owns the minerals underneath Lake Skokie. That's been even though the legislature passed a bill that's been sitting waiting for this litigation, you know, play out. And I think, you know, there's some interest by landlord members to let people pay the interest so it doesn't accrue, continue to accrue, but not going back that far. That's unreasonable.
Too much uncertainty. Get some outside counsel, some folks in the middle of this. Take your time. Do it right. Yeah, that's some good, solid advice. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Scott. Bye.
All right, friends, out of time. Leon Francis for me tomorrow, then I'm back on Thursday. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Agriculture feeds the world. Energy shines the light upon it. North Dakota is blessed to have an abundance of both. Wind energy helps keep our electricity reliable and low cost and sends new property tax revenue to 28 North Dakota counties. Landowners benefit from offering their private property as part of wind farms by giving them a steady stream of reliable income on their property for decades. It's a win-win situation. Wind energy and agriculture. A great partnership for North Dakota's future. This message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
Hi, this is Kevin Piper with Piper's Auction Company. Piper's upcoming February 2020 North Dakota land auctions include 640 acres in Oliver County, 320 acres in Stark, Billings, Foster, and Kidder counties, 314 acres in Lemoore County, 1,500 acres in Hettinger and Grant counties, 1,100 acres in Nelson County, and 156 acres in Polk County, Minnesota. View all of these land auctions and many more land and farm equipment retirement auctions at Piper's.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.